Hey everyone, you're listening to WHRW 90.5 FM Binghamton Radio, and this is Atheists at the Table, coming at you. Well, actually this is our last show, so we won't be coming at you every Wednesday, but we will be back next semester. Just want to remind everyone, this program may contain language or material that may be considered offensive. The views expressed of those of the engineer and their guests may not reflect the views of the management or other WHRW station members. Therefore, we advise you to carefully consider whether you or your children should listen. And this is going to be a Christmas show. We're going to open up with a little bit of humor. I've got something here. Actually, this isn't exactly Christmas-related, but I thought it was... It's pretty timely, and I thought it was pretty freaking hysterical. So I'm going to be playing you Prop 8, the musical. Enjoy.
It's a brand new bright Obama day. What a time to be
black, a girl,
or gay.
No, nothing could go wrong. So join us in this song of happy days for the gays. Nothing can go wrong.
Look, nobody's watching. It's time to spread some hate and put it in the Constitution.
Now, how?
Proposition 8.
Proposition 8. Great! People, listen to our plea. They'll teach kids about
sodomy.
That wasn't right, that's a lie.
But it worked, so we don't care.
Now you wish we'd all shut up,
but make our clothes and fix our hair.
And our love's not a sin.
Well, the Bible says it so.
Well, the Bible says a lot of things, you know.
Jesus Christ!
Hey, how's it going?
Jesus, doesn't the Bible say these people are an abomination?
Abomination?
Yeah, but you know, it says the exact same thing about this shrimp cocktail.
Shrimp cocktail?
Leviticus says shellfish is an abomination.
Abomination!
What else does the Bible say, Jesus?
The Bible says a lot of interesting things. Like you can stone your wife or sell your daughter into slavery.
Well, we ignore those verses.
Well then, friend, it seems to me you pick and choose.
You pick and choose.
Well, please choose love instead of hate. Besides, your nation was built on separation of church and state.
See you later, sinners.
Bye, Jesus.
I love you, Jesus.
You know, here's another thought to wrap things up. Oh, every time a gay or lesbian finds love at the parade, there's money to be made.
He's right!
It's time to groom, say, paint that wedding hall, and lavender's the shade. There's money to be made.
That's a point!
Think of all the carriages and
four white horses.
There's millions lost from all your disapproving.
Well, that's not good.
Think of all the lawyers for the gay divorces. Think of the tattoo removing.
We get it now.
We've been such fools.
I can see America's calling me. Yes, gay marriages will save the
All right, and that was Prop 8, the musical, which you can find online through Google. Yeah, I found it on funnierdie.com, and I thought it was pretty darn hysterical. It's got Sean Patrick Harris, it's got Jack Black, and a whole bunch of other people. So now I just want to introduce everyone. My name is Edwin, and I am your friendly neighborhood evangelical atheist, and sitting off to my left is...
Mike, I'm agnostic.
Agnostic. And across from me in Studio A, we have...
Paul.
Oh, wait, there we go. Wait, say it again.
Paul, also an atheist.
And no, okay. We have a guest in the studio. I'll leave your mic on in case you wanna jump in and
okay,
share this. Okay. All right. So we got a little skit we're gonna play out here. Me and Mike, real quick. Found a really funny cartoon on the internet, and I hope it plays out on radio. Go ahead.
Have you seen the Walmart commercials telling people they can buy more for Christmas?
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. They actually started that last year after talk of a Christian boycott. Isn't it ironic that the same Christians who complained that Christmas is too commercial were the ones who would only shop Walmart if they used Christmas ads?
So let me get this straight. Christians wanted to boycott the largest retail outlet in the world to force them to use Christmas in their promotions, even though those same Christians think that retail is ruining Christmas through over-commercialization. If Jesus really was the Son of God, it sort of makes you wonder what he'd say about it.
Actually, I give Walmall and Super Walmall my full personal divine endorsement. Being omniscient, I know a great deal when I see one. This year, celebrate my birthday with big, big savings found nowhere else in my creation. Tell them the Son of God sent you and save 5% on your total purchase. Walmall, the place for godly ads and ungodly prices.
Okay, yeah. I thought it was kind of humorous. Okay, so the topic for today is Christmas, and as usual, I have a much shorter thing than last week to read. It's just a couple of funny things about Santa and Christmas and kind of a history lesson today. When I'm done, if you want to get your phones ready, you can call in at 607-777-2137. Again, that's 607-777-2137. If you don't want to talk on the air, you can also contact us through our AOL Instant Messenger. Our screen name is WHRW Music. Again, that is WHRW Music on AOL Instant Messenger. If you want to contact you can get us in on our Gmail account, email, atheisttable@gmail.com. Again, that's atheisttable@gmail.com. Remember, the E comes before the I in atheist. We also have a blog up, atheisttable.blogspot.com, and we'll be updating that hopefully fairly frequently over the Christmas break to keep up with everything that'll be hopefully going on in the news and otherwise. So, all right, so the topic today is Christmas. First off, I just want to say Merry Christmas to everyone. Merry Christmas. It's a great holiday, whether you're Christian or you're an atheist or you're Jewish, Muslim, Hindu. It doesn't really matter. It's a fun holiday. You can take it for its religious connotations or for its secular fun.
Solstice.
Or winter solstice.
Or Festivus.
Festivus. You can play it up however you want.
Merry Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa.
I like that one. I mean, I know for one, I'll be celebrating it. And, today I've got a couple of talking points. We're going to take a look at the physics of Santa, as provided by our friend and co-host, Paul. Then we're going to do a comparison of the mythological figures known as Santa and Yahweh, followed by an investigation of the origins of Christmas traditions, and ending, finally, with a look into when Christ was probably actually born. So first, the physics of Santa Claus, which I got from a website whose link will be up on the show notes at the Atheist Table blog, which you can find again at atheisttable.blogspot.com. Okay, so number one, no known species of reindeer can fly, but there are 300,000 species of living organisms yet to be classified. And while most of these are insects and germs, this does not completely rule out flying reindeer, which only Santa has ever seen. There are 2 billion children, and this is point number two, there are 2 billion children, persons under 18, in the world. But since Santa doesn't appear to handle the Muslim, Hindu, Jewish, and Buddhist children, that reduces the workload to 15% of the total, 378 million, according to the Population Reference Bureau. At an average census rate of 3.5 children per household, that's 91.8 million homes, and one presumes that there's at least one good child in each. Santa has, and this is point number three, Santa has 31 hours of Christmas to work with, thanks to different time zones and rotation of the Earth, and assuming he travels east to west, which seems logical. This works out to 822.6 visits per second. That is to say that for each Christian household with good children, Santa has 1/1000th of a second to park, hop out of his sleigh, jump down the chimney, fill the stockings, distribute the remaining presents under the tree, eat whatever snacks have been left, get back up the chimney, get back into the sleigh, and move on to the next house. Assuming that each of these 91.8 million stops are evenly distributed around the Earth, which of course we know to be false, but for the purpose of our calculations we will accept, we are now talking about 78 miles per household, a total trip of 75.5 million miles, not counting stops to do what most of us have to do at least once every 31 hours, plus feeding and etc. This means that Santa's sleigh is moving at 650 miles per second, 3,000 times the speed of sound. For purposes of comparison, The fastest man-made vehicle on Earth, the Ulysses space probe, moves at a pokey 27.4 miles per second. A conventional reindeer can run, tops, 15 miles per hour. Point number four. The payload on the sleigh adds another interesting element. Assuming that each child gets nothing more than a medium-sized Lego set, about 2 pounds, the sleigh is carrying 321,300 tons, not counting Santa, who is invariably described as overweight. On land, conventional reindeer can pull no more than 300 pounds, even granting that reindeer fly, refer to point one, could pull, flying reindeer, could pull 10 times the normal load. We cannot do the job with 8 or even 9. We'd need 214,200 reindeer. This increases the payload, not even including the weight of the sleigh, to 353,430 tons. Again, for comparison, this is 4 times the weight of the Queen Elizabeth, that big cruise ship that you always hear in the news whenever it pulls into a New York harbor. And finally, point number five. 353,000 tons traveling 650 miles per second creates enormous air resistance. This will heat the reindeer up in the same fashion as spacecrafts re-entering the Earth's atmosphere. The lead pair of reindeer will absorb 14.3 quintillion joules of energy per second each. In short, they will burst into flames almost instantaneously, exposing the reindeer behind them and creating a deafening sonic boom in their wake. The entire reindeer team will be vaporized within 4.26 thousandths of a second. Santa, meanwhile, will be subjected to centripetal forces 17,500 times greater than gravity. A 250-pound Santa, which seems ludicrously slim, would be pinned to the back of his sleigh by 4,315,015 pounds of force. So basically, if there ever was a Santa, he's probably dead by now. But, on the other hand, scientists have worked out a way that they can counter for these problems. Since, as any child knows, Santa exists just like, I don't know, God, there has to be an example. There must be a way he does it, right? Ion shields. That's right. Ion shields. God has a particle shield just like in Star Wars that keeps him from burning up in the atmosphere. Oh, but what about the heat from air resistance? Well, why do you think the polar ice caps are melting? And how does Santa... And how does Santa get moving that fast? Well, Gott Einevoll, who works with physics and organic systems, figured out that Santa Claus, of course, uses vacuum energy. The sleigh and reindeer use repulsive energy to compensate for the force of gravity, and therefore can fly. See? It's so simple. And how does Santa know what you're thinking? Well, did you ever wonder why I always wear those winter hats with those little fuzzballs at the top? That's right. It's a transmitting device that sends out a signal from your brain for what you're thinking. See, with a little creative thinking, you can work out any problem. It is kind of interesting when you think about it how paralleled the characters of Santa and the Judeo-Christian God are. They both have apparent omniscience, knowledge of all things, as Santa always knows what you want and if you've been good enough to get it. They're also omnipresent everywhere. Have you ever gone mall hopping during the Christmas season? You notice that there's a Santa in every store. It's because Santa can be wherever he wants, whenever he wants. Santa is also somewhat omnipotent. He can get his hands on the coolest toys and can do all those crazy things that physics won't allow. Just like God, Santa lives outside of time and physics. I mean, it's the only way to explain all his powers. They both have a specific moral code. God has the Ten Commandments and such, and Santa judges who's naughty or nice. They both have reward-punishment systems. God has hell, Santa has coal. We have similar practices regarding them. We pray to God to get what we want. We sit on Santa's lap to get what we want. God has angels to do his bidding. Santa has elves. Heaven is a supposedly magical place up there. Santa lives in a magical place up there at the North Pole. And of course, they both have their Messiah, Savior figures. God has Jesus Christ. And Santa has Rudolph. And last but not least, let's remember that they have the same amount of evidence regarding their existence. Just a little food for thought. So let's talk a little bit about the religious origins of Christmas. First, when was Jesus born? Hold on for this one, folks. It wasn't December 25th, 1 AD. That was the date adopted by the early Christian church for a variety of reasons, namely to keep peace with the local pagans and polytheists, who were the majority back then. And then it was also to blend in, and for a smoother transition into Christianity when it started becoming the major religion later on. December 25th coincided with popular Roman holidays celebrating the birth and rebirth of a series of sun gods from different cultures, as well as Mithras, a popular god of the day. Using the Bible, some common sense, and some astronomy, the birth of Jesus Christ can be placed at around the 29th of September. A number of clues in the Gospels lead us to this result. First, the census, which would have been impractical to conduct during the winter. Next, the fact that the flocks of sheep were still out and about. The flocks were brought out of the fields before October. Jesus could not have been born on 1 AD or even 1 BC, since he was born during the reign of Herod, who died in 4 BC. Therefore, this is the earliest that Jesus could have been born. They also use, I believe it's the Gospel of John, talks about the birth, the conception and birth of, what's his name? The guy who baptized, John the Baptist. There we go. Thank you. They talk about the conception and birth of John the Baptist, and that's relative to when Jesus was conceived and born, and they're able to actually put it in late summer or September. They're able to date his birth for that. Looking into some of the Christian traditions, we find that they often pull their roots from ancient pagan winter solstice festivals. These festivals would celebrate the rebirth of the sun, since the winter solstice is the shortest day of the year and the day when the sun is lowest in the sky. After that, the sun will begin to rise again and be, quote, born. These pagan festivals use symbols of fertility and life to decorate their houses, such as evergreens, mistletoe, and holly, since these plants stay green throughout the winter. Yule logs were originally used in ancient Germanic pagan rituals and were burned for all the festival. Yule itself has origins in a pre-Christian winter festival celebrated by the Germans. And mistletoe was used by Druid priests 200 years before the birth of Christ to celebrate winter. And just a few other quick fun facts. The poinsettia's association with Christmas began in the 16th century Mexico, where legend tells of a young girl who was too poor to provide a gift for the celebration of Jesus' birthday. The tale goes that the child was inspired by an angel to gather weeds from the roadside and place them in front of the church altar. Crimson blossoms sprouted from the weeds and became beautiful poinsettias. The term Xmas comes from the Greek spelling of Christ, which starts with an X. And the term Christmas derives from the phrase Christ's Mass. Just a couple of trivia points for all of you out there. I'll have all the sources for this up at the blog, along with a transcript of what I just said at the blog, which you can find at atheisttable.blogspot.com. And just want to remind everyone, now's a good time to call in, 607-777-2137. Again, that's 607-777-2137. You can also get us in the studio on AOL Instant Messenger, which is WHRW Music, or at our Gmail account, which is atheisttable@gmail.com. All right, guys. So there's just a little bit of little history and some fun facts to talk about there. Are you guys going to be celebrating Christmas?
No, I'm probably going to be celebrating Christmas. It's still celebrated in my family. I also celebrate, as I said before, I also celebrate Festivus. I get the pole. I have
you actually get the pole and everything?
Well, some years.
That's awesome.
It's fun. We just don't have, feats of strength is a different thing. I arm wrestle. That's about it, but.
That's cool. Paul?
Being that my family is from the Soviet Union, we actually have something, we celebrate Christmas on New Year's instead, because it was a secular thing in Soviet Union. And there's also another tradition, which is called Old New Year, and that's because of the calendar differences back in the day.
Very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So, I guess, why do you guys celebrate Christmas despite your obviously secular leanings?
Well, for me, it's pretty much a cultural thing. My parents do it, and I really don't see it as anything other than a celebration. Obviously, it has religious roots, but for me, it's a time when I get with family. I get together with them and just, generally try to enjoy the holidays.
Yeah, I can see that. Paul?
In my case, New Year is secular. So because of the Soviet Union thing that they did, they couldn't have Christmas, but they couldn't get rid of it at the same time. So for us, it's just a bunch of funny stories about Grandpa Frost. It's the Russian translation of Santa.
Mm.
And actually, they had another character who was a witch. It's kind of funny.
A witch?
Yeah.
That's cool. So you guys have Santa there, right?
And, yes.
Are the Santa Claus traditions all the same?
More or less.
More or less, like reindeer and everything.
Mm-hmm. I don't remember the details about reindeer, but he does come in the chimney presents.
That's really cool. It's pretty much the same for me. I like the holiday. My family's more or less some quasi Christian thing going on. So we celebrated. I really enjoy it for the secular means. I like pretty lights and pretty music and all that stuff. And presents aren't bad either. Yeah, it's a good excuse just to get together and take some time off from everything and just, you know, have a good time. Have you guys heard about this whole the whole war on Christmas and the issues with saying Merry Christmas versus Happy Holidays? Have you guys heard about that?
I've heard about it too much.
Oh, what do you think about that? Like,
it's really kind of a it seems like a really overblown issue, especially because, as I said before, Christmas nowadays is just as much cultural. And just, in fact, just as much, materialistic and kind of like commercialized as any other holiday. And obviously it's got the religious meaning and the religious origins, but I don't think that really displaying certain things will be terribly harmful. I think that, there are other priorities than just focusing on that. And especially for people to get all worked up when someone criticizes that, that's even worse because it's taking a very, very small issue and inflating it into this huge culture war thing, and it just doesn't make sense to me.
Mm. Paul?
I can see where, like, a lot of the secular people or non-Christians would be coming from, because you hear Christmas everywhere, starting from around Thanksgiving. You get songs on the radio which have nothing to do with anything except Christmas in many cases. Actually, Madman Mark found an album called We Wish You a Metal Christmas, and he played the whole thing on his show.
Wait, who is this again?
Madman Mark.
Oh.
He played that last week.
By who? Who was the album by?
There was a whole bunch of different metal artists.
Really? That's so cool. I never introduced what I played. I played the Twisted Sister album. It's called A Twisted Christmas by Twisted Sister. Yeah, and their metal version of the 12 Days of Christmas, mm-hmm. which I just thought was freaking cool.
There's actually no holiday that is more commercialized than Christmas.
Halloween, maybe.
It gets close, but it's only costumes and candy. Yeah. There's very little else. Whereas in Christmas, you get the whole tree. There's a lot more food. It also has costumes, not as much so. Decorations, which definitely rival Halloween. But it also has all the songs and stuff.
That's true. I always felt that Halloween should get its own carols. Like, that'd just be a lot of fun. I'd love to go around mm-hmm. singing Halloween carols.
This is Halloween. Halloween. La la la.
Yes. That would be great.
Nightmare Before Christmas all over the place.
Yeah. Does our guest want to say anything about how they enjoy Christmas?
I'm just wondering what your opinion is. It was in the news.
You're going to need to speak
into the microphone, yes.
You want to speak into the side of it, not the top.
The side, okay. I don't know if it was a week or two ago, and I'm not sure where it was. What is your opinion about the holiday displays? Because it was in the news that a group of atheists, do you know the story if you do take over?
There's actually a couple of them right now, so I'm wondering which one.
Where they're bringing the town to court. Because they feel they need to be represented as much as Christmas and Hanukkah, and they want a section
where
devoted to the atheists, saying, you know, this is all.
Where was this?
I don't know.
Well, that's the thing. If Christmas displays are being presented on government grounds, they do need to offer equal representation. And then it's up to the atheists to just get their stuff out there and do it. In Washington, in Seattle. I was up late last night watching YouTube videos of Bill O'Reilly freaking out. I've never watched Bill O'Reilly before. That guy is a bit nuts. Of course, that is only my opinion. Gotta disclaim that real quick. But in my opinion, he's freaking nuts. But I was actually following this story through Bill O'Reilly, and I've been following it for the past 2 weeks on the Feringula blog, which is one of my favorite blogs. The Seattle Capitol allowed a nativity scene to be displayed on the Capitol grounds, and then a atheist group came out and had a sign that said something along the lines of, in this holiday season, let us remember that there are no gods and no devils, no heaven, no hell, only like each other and reason. At this holiday season, let reason prevail. Religion is but a fairy tale that enslaves minds and does something else. And the last line was very provocative and very poking. I'm actually gonna try and look up what the actual quote was. Is that what you were referring to?
It sounds like it.
Yeah. Christians went in and stole the sign, and they found it thrown out somewhere on the side of a highway somewhere, and that's real Christian. Just want to say stealing, that's great. But yeah, I mean, how do you feel about the idea? I mean, you're a religious person, right? To an extent. We've spoken to you on the phone before.
What's my opinion? Yeah, I think everybody should be represented, so fine, I guess you should have your voice too. If everybody's going to have a display, then the atheist should also have a say.
Okay, that's good. Oh, what about you guys? Do you think it's appropriate to have... Oh, here it is. I found it. Just real quick, I'm going to read it. At this season of the winter solstice, may reason prevail. There are no gods, no devils, no angels, no heaven or hell. There is only our natural world. Religion is but myth and superstition that hardens hearts and enslaves minds. And well, I would personally agree with that sign. I think that there's definitely a better way that they could have phrased that, because that's... Yeah, they're I think that they're right, and I'm sure a lot of people would agree with them, but that's really not the message you really want to put out. Maybe they wanted to have said, at this season of the winter solstice, may reason and love prevail. There are no gods, no devils, no angels, no heaven or hell. There is only our natural world and each other, and then the final line, instead of being something that really hits at religious people, could have been something more, let us remember, let us use this time of festivities to remember our families and our loved ones or something like that, whether or not you have religion in your life. I don't know.
I agree. I think I remember in one of the recent years, I don't remember how old this is, one of the atheist groups put up something, a tree of knowledge. Basically, there was a normal Christmas tree at near like the center of town or something, and near that they put... a tree which was decorated with very famous books of reason of various sorts, like science, Darwin, I think, included a lot of other very interesting books. And they use that as a secular example of like what Christmas could be.
That sounds reasonable. And it's not attacking at anyone.
Right.
Either.
Do you find...
But that tree was also vandalized by some Christians.
Oh, yeah, everything's been vandalized by Christians, even the simplest signs. There was a sign last Christmas, and I totally don't remember what it said, but it was something a lot more friendly, and it was vandalized, and that was kind of sad, because it was really just a very friendly message. Yeah.
But do you find that there are your extreme atheists? And, I mean, you always talk about the extreme Christians and I forget the terms you use, but... You're moderates, you're extremists. Do you have that with atheists also?
You do.
Because it's those atheists that give you the bad name. That when people hear, you're an atheist, oh my God, that's awful.
I think it's more misconceptions that give the atheist the bad name.
Absolutely.
There are misconceptions, but there definitely
like
are extremist atheists. Atheists who, it's usually people who've recently become atheists, who are really gung-ho about the whole Richard Dawkins, Christopher Hitchens, let's all hate religion together, and they get very loud and very negative.
But they're usually not so violent, like,
oh, no,
physically.
No, well, no, they're not. No, I haven't heard of any atheist attacking a Christian for being religious. I've never heard that. Has anyone else?
Yeah, you've heard of Christians attacking atheists for?
I've heard of Christians attacking everyone for anything. There was a Jewish man last Christmas who was beaten when he said Happy Holidays. I mean, when he did say Happy Holidays instead of Merry Christmas. Come on.
Wow.
Seriously.
Wow.
Okay. Dead air. Were you gonna say something?
Yeah, I kind of forgot, but it's coming back to me. I do notice that there are, like, a lot of extreme elements in practically any sort of ideology, so... and I actually have heard acts of violence by atheists or by people who don't necessarily believe in God. But obviously, as with a lot of the fundamentalists, or at least some of the fundamentalists, it's important to realize that it's not exclusively because of their ideology. Each person carries with them all of their previous experiences and their mindset in general, their general psychology and everything like that. I mean, for example, Ted Kaczynski, obviously, I mean, he had a very, very unorthodox way of looking at the world, but one of the reasons why he committed all of his crimes, he was, by the way, the Unabomber, was because he was, I think he was a diagnosed paranoid schizophrenic or something like that.
Well, I mean, it's a lot easier to get from, let's say Christianity to violence than it is to get from atheism to violence. Mostly because of the pick and choose mentality, where you have a dogma, you have a command from God, and these people pick and choose. And when they're pissed off, they can choose to pick the violent phrase, the one that says, you know, go out and strike down, you know, the person who tries to turn you away from your belief. The other thing with atheists is that we don't have a dogma. The only thing that we all agree on is that we don't have a belief in a God. That's the only thing we really agree on. You can use reason with an atheist, almost any atheist, by discussing an issue with them. They aren't closed off by specific religious dogma and a fear of heaven and hell. You know, there's an opportunity for talking points. You know,
right.
There's also an atheist ad on buses in Washington, D.C., which I was also Fox News was getting up in arms about this one. And it has a picture of a black woman in a Santa costume standing there with her arms up, with her hands up, you know, like, and the sign says, "Why believe in God? Just be good for goodness sake." What do you guys think about that one?
The imagery might be a slightly offensive because they take Santa, which is certainly in America, it's a religious figure of sorts.
It is?
Where do you get that?
Of sorts. Like, it's related to Christmas, which is Jesus, and so it's kind of, like, indirectly related.
Okay. You know, okay. Go ahead.
And then they put an atheist slant on it, so it might be slightly offensive. The message itself is perfectly fine, in my opinion. All right. That's about it.
Yeah.
Well, I can see it as, I don't think it would be unorthodox, but I don't think it would be offensive, but I think that it would definitely be, it would catch people's eye, and I don't think anyone's going to go around, you know, are annoyed that, you know, Santa Claus is being represented in such a strange way, but...
Well, Whoopi Goldberg played Santa Claus in a movie.
Yeah, that's true, actually. I forget which movie, but I know that did happen.
I've seen that one. It was a cute movie. yeah, I mean, there's definitely something a little more friendly about the message. You know, it's not directly attacking. It's not saying, you know, I mean, because if you say religion is but myth and superstition that hardens hearts and enslaves minds, you're basically telling anyone who adheres to religion that their heart is hard and that their mind is enslaved. And that's going to hit wrongly at people's hearts.
It's not always true.
Yeah, and it's not always true. But with something a little more friendly, like, you know, why believe in God? Just be good for goodness sake. It gets at that whole idea that atheists aren't able to have morals because we don't have the Ten Commandments to tell us not to kill people. I, for one, haven't killed anyone, and I haven't really needed anyone to tell me not to do that. It just kind of came naturally to me. Yeah, I don't know. From our resident spiritualist, pseudo-Christian spiritualist, how do you feel about this sign, I guess also in comparison to the other sign?
I don't know. I'm sitting here thinking about it. Yeah, I mean, the words be good, what was it? Be good for goodness sake.
Yeah, they take it from Christmas Carol, you know.
But atheists or not, I mean, I have a problem with the Christians that... at the church I used to go to, and I've heard you talk about it, the Christians who are Sunday Christians, and then on Monday they don't say hello to you. So, you know what? We should just be good to each other, regardless if there is religion or not. I'm sorry, that's it may be off, but...
Okay, well, so are you saying
that
you don't...
I definitely think it's fine.
So you don't find the message to be offensive?
No, not at all.
There's also... a couple of other signs. There's one out in...
I actually, if I can, I mean, it also just also puts a better light on the atheists that they are good people and they're not, you know,
yeah. And it also,
demonic.
The other thing is that for atheists, there isn't a community yet. It's being built brick by brick. There's being a community built for atheists. But right now, we don't have churches to go to. We don't have mosques and we don't have temples. But it's being built little by little. And these advertisements may give that atheist who's looking for a group of like-minded people a way to get in touch with them, because it has the website on it of the American Humanist Association. And these atheists can go there and find out where their local group is and go join them. Maybe we can get out and, you know, and get our names out there and hopefully get a better image. I mean, the American Humanist Organization sponsors a lot of charity and, you know, a lot of community service that Christians just don't think that atheists can do, because we're the hard-hearted ones, supposedly. There's also another sign out in another state, and I don't know where it is, but the sign is, you know, it shows kind of like a image of a stained glass kind of thing, and it says Reasons Greetings, like a play on Seasons Greetings. It says Reasons Greetings, and then it has the address, and then there's another one that's out that isn't holiday related, but it says, "Don't believe in God, you are not alone." And it gives the address also. I saw that advertisement myself, and it made me real all warm and fuzzy inside, because, I mean, while I've been involved in the atheist community to some extent for a little while, it was nice to know that other atheists who maybe had been a little too afraid to come out of the woodwork might be inspired by that. But those two signs, how do you guys feel about that? You know, Reasons Greetings, Don't Believe in God, You're Not Alone.
I think it's kind of cute. I actually like the Reasons Greetings one and the other one. I think it really works. It's really just kind of the best sign that says what it needs to say. It gives it kind of like a little touch, you know, and doesn't really go for the jugular or anything like that, because then you start getting into a whole mess.
I think it
of
doesn't
problems.
Even come close.
Yeah.
If not for the stained glass, I wouldn't even have thought it was related to the whole religion versus atheism thing.
Yeah. It's
actually
nice, you know.
Funny story connected to that. I saw a sign. Actually, it was like a pick on the net or something of a advertisement by, I think it was Wiccans or Neo-Pagans. And it basically said Heathens Greetings. I thought that was really funny. So much that I actually use that sometimes. Except I'm not a Neo-Pagan.
So,
those signs can only serve to promote atheism in a better light, because actually, I guess I'm a little ashamed to say, I found out this past week somebody's an atheist that I deal with every day, and sitting here, yeah, I'm actually a little ashamed to say my reaction was what? You are no, not you.
Wait,
you can't be you're an atheist. I totally couldn't believe it. It was just like,
just
but you're
confused.
So not. And it makes me, I mean, I've always said this show, you know, it serves to make me think. And unfortunately, I'm not happy that it has made me ponder certain things, you know, and question certain beliefs I've had before. But having that reaction, you know, even listen, it's, yeah, what do I think of atheists? You still are seen in a negative light, because I could not get over the fact he's an atheist. I just... can't believe
it. Did it bother you?
It took me off guard. And don't ask me why. I don't know how
I mean,
I
there's some
him
things
to...
that aren't a norm anymore. I'm sure if this person, unless they were already, if they came out and said that they were gay, I mean, as much as that's kind of an accepted, so it's becoming more accepted, it probably would
I probably
would
have accepted that a little easier. Like, oh, okay.
Really?
But atheist, I was, yeah.
Wow, I'm very surprised.
I'm
that.
Very
just from
surprised
what I know of you
too. You know, but yeah. So that makes me sit here and think. So those signs actually will just put you in the light and make people start thinking.
I was actually thinking that it was maybe possible that those signs would actually bring a larger divide among various peoples, because the people that are like closet atheists or just somewhat supportive of the thing will like join that our side, and then the people that like don't like atheists will actually will grow further from us and hate us more. So it would probably bring a bigger divide to the whole issue, and I think it might have a negative effect in some cases.
Well, what is the fear of the atheist who, you know, you said in the closet? Why do atheists stay in the closet? Yeah.
Is it because of the reaction I just had? Yes.
But are they afraid they're going to be attacked?
And your reaction is actually very mild.
Really?
Yeah.
You'd be surprised.
Again, if you used to go to, if you were a church-going person, if you were just raised in the church and you were, you became atheist, you know, just for whatever reason, you're still going to church out of habit, and you made a lot of friends there, you suddenly announce that you're an atheist. Very often what happens to these people is they're ostracized from their social groups, and they can't go back. Mm-hmm. These people won't accept them anymore. Very often people are rejected from their families because of this. It's not just their friends. It can be their families. And yes, it can erupt in violence also, especially in the Bible Belt South or in other rural areas such as rural New York.
Go ahead.
It's a very extreme example, but I know with the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses, two groups that, at least their own communities are very, very closely knit, and anything deviating from that is generally really, really frowned upon. People who would say that they don't believe in God or that they're not sure, people who basically like kind of go against that are. Sometimes they lose practically anything. I mean, there actually are, I think, clauses in the writings of the Jehovah's Witnesses, which basically say someone can be excluded from almost every aspect of public life if they deviate from that norm. And obviously, you know, in other places like the South, that's just kind of a de facto truth.
Mm. That's awful. I mean, it really is like going back to I can't say the beginning, but like homosexuality, how people had to hide it.
Yeah.
For fear.
The gays are on the verge of their little renaissance and their golden era. I don't know how long it's going to take, maybe another 10 years before they reach the status of how, you know, black people used to be segregated out like gays sort of are now, and maybe they'll be more accepted in about 10 years. But atheists are just coming out, and people are just starting to realize that there's a large divide here between atheists and religious people, especially as we start to notice a lot of the problems with our education, where people want to get intelligent design put in the schools, and we start realizing that our education is far behind in the world in comparison to other countries,
especially secular countries.
Yeah, specifically secular countries. I've actually got something right here. One second. In relation to intelligent design and creationism, United States is ahead of only one of the Western countries. As far as, you know, believing in evolution, we've got the lowest rating next to Turkey in belief in evolution.
If you can really call that a Western country, they are very, very, very Muslim.
Well, they've got like Eastern Europe in here also, and some of the Middle East. I mean, they've got Iceland at the top, then Denmark, Sweden, France, Japan, United Kingdom, Norway, Belgium, Spain, Germany, Italy, Netherlands, and they're all very close. And then You get to Latvia, below a whole bunch of these countries. You get Latvia, Cyprus, United States, and Turkey, and then suddenly there's a real steep decline on this graph, which you can find at scienceblogs.com/pharyngula, which is spelled PHARYNGULA, which you can also find a link for that on the atheisttable.blogspot.com blog. I guess I have a question more about this advertisements and putting things up. Should Christmas displays be put in state capitals to begin with? It was very William Shatner the way I said that. Should Christmas displays be there, period? I mean, they are at the root a religious display, even if you want to say that they have their roots in paganism, that's still religious. You know, should they be there to begin with?
As long as everyone is represented, because even in public schools, as long as you represent all religions, then you're not, you know, excluding anyone. I think it's fine.
Oh, that could also bring up a couple of problems with regards to how far do we want to take this idea of representing everyone, because when it's mentioned everyone in the Constitution, they mean practically everyone. I can name any number of, you know, smaller minority religions where, you know, displaying them in public grounds or in schools would bring, you know, absolute horror to some people.
Rastafarianism?
Actually, I was thinking more in terms of Satanism.
I thought right. Satanism You're also, right. Yeah, that would, ooh, that gives me an idea. Evil smirk.
No, that's true, because I actually was thinking, I guess, you know, the Christianity, Judaism, like Kwanzaa.
Kwanzaa, I don't think is a religious holiday.
I know, guys, but you have to represent.
Don't confuse Satanism and Satan worshiping. It's two different things.
Yeah, they are, actually.
Anyway, I was...
A point well taken.
Anyway, I forgot what I was thinking.
But even like your secular Levian Satanism would just people would not allow that. That would be awesome to try and get that up on Capitol grounds. I'm just saying.
It would be funny, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think the solution to this issue is just not displaying anything at all. And I think it's obviously a very difficult issue. And as I mentioned before, I'm not really sure that it's an issue we should be really dealing with, because there are obviously a lot bigger issues, and to kind of focus all of our time on, you know, nitpicking on what decorations get put up when the decorations don't really do that much other than provide sort of an atmosphere, which is probably going to happen regardless of whether or not they are put up on public grounds. I think it's kind of trivial.
I think
just real quick, this program may contain language or material that may be considered offensive. The views expressed of those the engineer and their guests may not reflect the views of the management or the WHRW station members. Therefore, we advise you to carefully consider whether you or your children should listen. Go ahead.
I think the decoration should only be prohibited on government grounds, but other places, whoever wants to put them up can put them up. I was considering, I went to Italy back before high school, and we went to all the churches, even though my family is not religious at all. We were just looking at the churches as a beautiful work of art. So
gorgeous, yeah.
Yeah. Decorations is definitely like a wonder to look at, so it's fine to put them up if they want. If they're going to put some work into it, then let them use it, just not on government grounds.
So not on government grounds.
Yeah, that's about the only exception.
That is one way where you can just, you know, really just solve the problem right there. Don't put it on government grounds, you know.
Separation of church and state, they can't
especially on
sponsor specific holiday or and therefore religion. So, but everywhere else is fine.
Yeah, but then that is going to take it even further, because when you're sworn in, they do say, unless you ask them not to, you know, so help you God.
Wait, what was this again?
When they swear you in under oath, it's so help you God, which you can say, I will, you know, not
I
to
actually
ask
complained
me.
About that. That I complained, you know,
Did
I ranted
you?
About it last week. I mentioned it.
Oh. I thought
I, you know, you can swear on a Bible or you can swear on a Quran if you want to in court. The issue with that is, if I, as an atheist, say I don't want to, what's going to happen when the fundagelical Christian in the jury looks at me and says, oh, he's an atheist, he's guilty, I don't care, I don't like him. You know, they slant their view at me already just by the fact that I said I'm not going to say, you know, so help me God.
This became an issue when Marlon Brando's son was in court. And Marlon Brando refused to have a Bible. So I believe you can That's have gross. It excluded from the entire trial so that you will not be held out. You will let it be known that you do not want the Bible and you do not want in So Help You God.
I also know that there are a number of just generally ways to avoid bias in terms of juries. Obviously, the whole jury selection thing is very influential. But also, There's also a number of things. The thing that comes to mind the most is a change of venue, which essentially moves it to a different location. It moves the trial to a different location. I know they do that with a number of cases which are high profile or controversial in any sort of way.
But I guess my point was, if you start talking about Christmas and we have to remove that, then you're going to have to also start removing all these other things. And then you're going to have nitpicking within the, you know.
Which is why I said only on government grounds. Everywhere else, it's fine.
Yeah. If we're good with that, I just found an article because I was looking up stuff on Frangula, and I found he just posted something about the war on Christmas, which I thought would be interesting to read. The title is War on Christmas Heats Up with Vigorous Action on Multiple Fronts. The Muslims have entered the fray now. One crazy lawyer, Anjem Shudere, is calling Christmas evil. How can we godless top that? And he quotes Anjem Shudere saying, "The very concept of Christmas contradicts and conflicts with the foundation of Islam. Every Muslim has a responsibility to protect his family from the misguidance of Christmas, because its observance will lead to hellfire. Protect your paradise from being taken away. Protect yourself and your family from Christmas. Have no fear. We can say something much, much worse. Here's an elementary school teacher who told her class that Santa wasn't real. The reaction from parents is amusing. My lad was nearly in tears, and so was everyone else in the class, especially as it was so close to Christmas. I thought it was wrong. He was distraught about it. He's only 7 years old, and it's part of the magic of Christmas to him. We told him that she did not believe in Father Christmas because of her religion, and he's fine now. I found it shocking. She has done it maliciously. So, 7 years old. I wonder how many of them actually bought that Santa nonsense at all. Looks like some smart aleck kids saw a ploy to disrupt class, make a teacher suffer, and get extra special sympathy from their parents." So it was interesting. Actually, I think the first part of that is a lot more interesting. This whole idea that, how do you deal with this issue of religion as child abuse and freedom of speech and all these things, when some people believe that the very existence of Christians and Christmas being so popular and everywhere, saturating our social environment, will potentially bring them or their children to eternal hellfire. Does that interfere with a Muslim's right to the pursuit of happiness? You know, and how do we deal with that? When they have, these very, very strict and extreme beliefs. Even on some of the moderate level, Muslims are still usually a little more extreme than your moderate Christian. What do you guys think about that?
Well, it doesn't seem like there's going to be any easy answer in terms of the Islamic view of Christmas. Obviously, Christmas is here to stay. It's not only religious, but it's cultural. And it's just so firmly embedded in our culture that it's going to be, it would be almost impossible to remove. So I really don't see what this person is trying to accomplish by just bad-mouthing it. Maybe what he's trying to do is saying that, all the pressures, all the societal pressures around this time can convince Muslims of going a route that isn't completely Muslim in nature. Something along those lines.
Yeah. Anything? Do you guys know the story of give a mouse a cookie? The give a mouse a cookie story. Give a mouse a cookie, he'll ask for a glass of milk. Give him a glass of milk, he'll ask for, I don't know, something else. Basically, it just goes on and on and on like that. I feel like that's what's happening with Islam. Basically, September 11th happened, and then the train bombings in Spain happened, and then the public service areas in Britain were bombed, and the Western world just crapped their pants. And now we're just saying, you know what, fine, do whatever you want. You've got the issues in France, in Britain, and in I forget which one of the Scandinavian countries, where everyone's just kowtowing to Islamic bullying tactics. You also have the book Jewel of Medina, which we talked about last week or the week before that on this show, which an American publisher chose not to publish because, you know what? They were right. It was, you know, it wasn't a good idea. It was probably a bit dangerous for them. You have the motion being put through the United Nations to make defamation of religion outlawed, trampling freedom of speech, and what would ultimately be freedom of the press and freedom of a million and one things. And now they want to jump in and, you know, and they're messing with education, they're messing with everything. They're also helping out on the intelligent design front, unfortunately. And we get this. But the problem is that with American ideals of, you know, of political correctness and having to take care of everyone, you know, and make sure no one's feelings gets hurt, and, you know, of course, we have to respect everyone's beliefs, right? But how can we respect someone's beliefs when we're telling them, you know what, we really don't think your beliefs are that credible that, you know, basically we're saying we don't care that you think you're going to hell, you know? No matter how much you really believe that the saturation of Christmas in your environment is going to lead your children to burn for all eternity, we really don't care. It doesn't bother us, you know? Is that respect of everyone's beliefs? In my opinion, I think a lot of all of this political correct hooey about respecting everyone's beliefs is really respect every Christian's beliefs, because that's where you hear it mostly from, and you hear it sometimes. What's your viewpoint on that, guys? You think this whole respecting everyone's beliefs, and how does the American society deal with a Muslim who believes that Christmas is going to destroy their eternal souls?
Well, to some point, I think that there are some beliefs that just can't be reconciled with the type of discourse that we have in the United States, which is predominantly, at least theoretically, it's, I respect your right to hold these beliefs, even though I disagree and I think that you're absolutely wrong and going to go to hell or anything along those lines.
Also, for a Christian to go against a Muslim's belief, they're kind of inviting the opposite on themselves. And that's a problem because neither of them can withhold criticism.
I think Sam Harris had a term for that. What was it? Conversational intolerance or something along those lines? It's basically the idea that we invite these things into the public forum for more open discussion, which doesn't really happen that much. But at the same time, we still have a certain level of respect for other people, and we don't criticize them we still criticize, but we don't persecute, yeah, or show anything like that in response.
Well, I just think that if someone's going to be that concerned that their beliefs can be influenced, they need to look at themselves and question how strong are their beliefs then. You know, how strong have they put it on their children then?
The Muslims?
Yeah, if they fear that a saturation of Christmas can affect their family's beliefs, well, then maybe they're not really doing that good a job. Maybe they don't really have a strong belief either if they think it can be wavered.
Yeah, but that can totally go the way of the next time, you know, someone criticizes a Christian. But again, thinking about this whole... I mean, do you believe that we should respect a person's religious beliefs?
I think he said it wonderfully. How'd you say? You respect the right for you to have the right to believe it?
Something along those lines.
You know, yeah. I mean, you know, I sit here, yes, we should respect other people's beliefs. And I know, you know, you generally will say, oh, everything? You know.
Right. I respect
your
right
to
believe
it. Exactly.
I don't respect your right to act on it.
Exactly.
Okay.
Or, right. If you're going to hurt someone else, you can have your beliefs as long as you're not causing pain to someone else.
But that's the problem. The Muslims believe that they are causing problems. That they are hurting them. That this is directly hurting
them. It's not. Nobody's saying, Muslim, you must believe this. They're being surrounded by it while if they're that concerned, their beliefs, their children are going to be affected, then the parents really need to look at what they're doing. They don't have belief in themselves and what they've taught their child. That's how I see it.
Fair enough. Okay. I guess we're I don't know what's going on. There's supposed to be a WHRW news right now, but I guess we're going late again until someone gets here.
I'm gonna go check.
You're gonna go check. Thanks, man. We're gonna find out if they're coming on. Otherwise, I guess we'll just go for another half an hour until they get here. I've got a couple of articles pulled up here. Unless someone has something that they want to talk about Christmas, Mike, guest, anything?
Not really that much. I can't really think of anything off the top of my head.
Anything?
No, not really. Not to use the word support group, but is there like a support group or a place that atheists can go? I mean, as you mentioned before, there are no churches.
There's no one. Okay, so we're going for a half an hour until the next show comes on. All right, people, strap yourselves in. It's an extended edition of... Oh, no? Oh, you're here. Well, never mind. Okay. We're going to wrap up then, if you give us just 2 minutes. Okay, excellent. Let's see, where was I? I have no idea what I was saying. Anyone remember?
The congregation.
Congregation, yes, there are. If you want to, the best thing for people who are looking into... finding places for atheists to get together is to look, just search atheist groups, secular groups. There are Secular Humanist Association has resources. I know in Austin, Texas, they're taking pictures now of the studio. In Austin, they have the Austin Atheist Association or something like that, which runs an excellent blog. In Binghamton, as of right now, I do not personally know of one, but that doesn't mean that there can't be one. If there's anyone out there who wants to start one, the best thing to do is to take out an ad in a local paper and say, you know, let's meet at so-and-so coffee shop at so-and-so time. Sunday is a great time in the afternoon. Well, it is, because it creates that regularity and that structure that
of church.
Yeah,
actually
of church.
Amen.
And service.
If I might shamelessly suggest, I'm part of an currently unchartered group right now called the Secular Students Alliance. Right now we're looking for a charter. So that might be one of the groups. Join it or not, you know, it's up to you. But.
That's the campus organization, though. Are residents of the Binghamton area allowed to join?
I'm not entirely sure. I can't speak for sure, but I can at least assume that we'd welcome any, you know, sort of help that we can get.
Yeah. And as that group kind of gets on its feet, I'll be hopefully working with the group as much as I'm able to, because I'm really happy to see that there's a group like that, and I'll make announcements for the group on this show, and we'll let you know when and where you can join us for activities and things like that. Any closing remarks? Anyone? All right.
Happy holidays.
Happy Saturnalia.
And thank you for allowing me to sit in. This was fun.
You're welcome. All right. Well then. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, Happy
God
Kwanzaa.
Bless us, everyone.
Reason bless us, everyone. Just want to say thank you. This is the last show of the semester. We'll be back next semester, which is going to be in a little over a month with a new time, probably. Just keep an eye on the blog, which I'll be updating with more information and essays and stuff like that, my thoughts, and I'll actually have Mike joining us on it, I believe, right?
Yes.
And Paul, did you want to join?
Probably.
I'll get them on. I just got to figure it out. So again, that's atheisttable.blogspot.com, where you can check in with our thoughts and on secular issues and other various philosophical ejaculations of the mind, to use a fun word there. All right, everyone, Merry Christmas. And if you want to get in touch with me or any of the hosts here, you can send a message to atheisttable@gmail.com over the break until we come back. Okay, thanks, everyone, for a great semester.